Hey guys, this is episode 8 of Noodle Time. Welcome. Here with me is the guy that will most likely take over Gabriel Benner's stake with the Dynamo on the dash. Here's Tony Rubio. Tony, say hello.
Hello, everybody. Sadly, I don't think the lint I have in my pocket is enough to take over Overlord Brenner's stake, but hey, we'll try our best here on behalf of all Foxtrot community.
Yeah, Tony said, like, before we started the show, that he had like a $20 bill that could go towards a TNH Adebes transfer fee, so that's something.
No, I'm only paying for Carlos Salcedo. I'm only paying for Ake Loba. I'm sorry, TNH.
Yeah, but yeah, like, I still, it's a little bit more than Oscar De La Hoya for sure. Whatever he puts like in, if he does.
We're not talking about the Golden Boy right now, man. It's all about Canelo right now. We got to get him to buy the team out.
Yeah, Canelo and then Beyonce.
Oh, God. No, dude, that'd be awesome for the Dash, so I know. But, dude, what a crazy week in Dynamo Dash world, dude. It's just news after news after news, months of nothing. And then everything just falls down in a matter of a week.
Yeah, like at first it was like Ake Loba, but apparently that's just a rumor. But we now got Tetsugol potentially buying Gabriel Benner's stake with a Dynamo and a Dash. And yeah, we also got TNH Adebe potentially coming in, which might be a while to see if something comes out of it. And then we also got the Dynamo and Dash going to talk about from last week.
And the game's coming up, and there's too much, but we're going to try to cover it all for you guys this episode, so hold on for probably what's going to be around 45 minutes, an hour, but we're going to make sure to cover everything, keep you guys in the loop, see if we can give you guys any information you already don't know, and if you already know anything, then still listen anyways, because we're probably going to crack some trashy jokes and have a good time.
For sure. And yeah, and before we start, a little bit of housekeeping. As always, make sure to keep checking my blog for all the updates, like podcast episodes, as well as Fox in the Box, the weekly newsletter at ko-fi.com/dynamicfoxtrot. That's ko-fi.com/dynamicfoxtrot, just like my Twitter handle. And there's not going to be another Fox in the Box this week. There's been like some issues with my schedule. And yeah, it's been pretty much just Tetsugol in my mind this past couple of weeks. And yeah, I'm just like thinking about like all the possibilities coming out of it. And yeah, with that said,
I got something to say there on the list. Yeah. I know you got a big picture of Tetsugol on your bedroom wall with a heart on it, but you guys need to subscribe to ko-fi.com/dynamicfoxtrot, because we promise the money that you guys give us, we're sending straight to Matt Jordan in his basement to fund TNH Adebe. So send us your money, you know, just like the Nigerian princes. We promise we're going to get you guys a transfer in. Just trust.
Yes. Either TNH Adebe or Ake Loba, we'll figure it out. And yeah, with that said, let's go ahead and get into the Tetsugol talk. So if you were living under a rock last week, Mark Berman, the sports anchor at Fox 26, broke the news that Tetsugol, which is the founder and president of EJS Group, Real Estate Development Group, and that also does financing for like real estate, he is most likely buying the Dynamo within the next few months or so for a reported $400 million, which is a lot of money.
Some light.
Yeah,
and that's the news we've been waiting for, Andres. How are we feeling, dude? What do we have to process? It's still not a done deal, but what do we know so far?
Yeah, so what we know so far is, going back to Mark Bergman, basically he said that a deal has been reached right now, and it may take a couple months for it to get everything signed off and completed. And then after that, there was a report from Sportico, which is like a sports business journal, kind of like those like sports journals that break news all the time for various aspects of like a ton of sports. They mentioned that there was going to be a 400 range of the $400 million, kind of like that, and it also includes the Dash. And essentially, Tetsugo is going to take over the controlling ownership of the Dynamo, and he's going to be the sole owner of the Dash. And with that, Gabriel Brenner is still going to be involved in the organization, but he's going to be a minority owner. And then Jake Silverstein is going to leave the organization. And the other little piece of news that I thought it was interesting is that even though Gabriel Brenner and Oscar De La Hoya are going to stay in the organization as minority owners, they're going to have a smaller stake with the Dynamo, which I found interesting. So
you forgot our boy James Harden too. He's still on.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I left him out on purpose only because the report from Sportico left him out for some reason. So I thought that was weird, but for now I'm assuming that he's going to have like the same stake that he got last year. So I'm guessing that's the case. So for now, it's just Brenner and Oscar De La Hoya are getting a smaller stake with the Dynamo as soon as Ted Segal takes over. And yeah, with that said, I think this is exciting. It's something. And
that's the thing.
Yeah,
it's something because we don't know yet. And I remember when I was young and naive when we got the news of Mr. Brenner taking over the Dynamo from AEG, you know, our LA Galaxy stepfather. And I was just as psyched. I mean, obviously didn't know as much about MLS back in those days, but the pessimist in me doesn't want to get too excited yet because, you know, Ted Segal isn't an NFL owner. He isn't this or that. And it's scary because, you know, it's just like love. It's just like a relationship. We're afraid to open our Dynamo hearts up again, if we're being real. And we just hope Tetsugol is going to come here and spend some money, man. You don't got to spend everything. Just give us a couple transfers here and there. It's going to be a lot more than Brenner. We'll be happy with you. But more than anything, from what we know from Tetsugol, is that those articles talking about him so far saying that he's fronting a group. Like he's the face, but he's leading a group of investors. So we don't know who these investors are. We don't know where this money comes from. We don't know anything. His real estate group, I think that might be something separate from what he's doing now. This seems like his personal money, his family money. Honestly, he's kind of seems like a secretive guy, not too much in the public eye. But from what it seems like is that he has old money. He has a very established and well-off family, obviously, to be a billionaire, millionaire, whatever he is, buying the Dynamo. And I shout out to Hal Kaiser. I know he covers the Dash and obviously the Dynamo a little bit. And maybe it'd be interesting to have him on talk about Ted Segal because he says he works in the same financing realm as him. So he knows a lot about him. So from what he said, he was saying that he thinks there's obviously other investors involved, and this is his family's money. This doesn't have to do with his businesses. So there's that to keep in mind as well.
Yeah, the other thing that I wanted to add is that from the Houston Chronicle, I believe, they essentially broke. They added up to the story, and they mentioned that Tetsugol was also involved in trying to acquire other teams around MLS. Also, I believe he was also like involved in trying to take over Orlando City before they were bought out by another separate group. And
Salt Lake City,
yeah, Real Salt Lake. And yeah, just adds up to the perception that he's trying to get involved in MLS. He wants to be committed. Also that, and with the $400 million potentially involved in this transaction, I think it speaks to what he's trying to do with MLS. But at the same time, it's still early. We don't know his intentions and what he's trying to do with the Dynamo and the Dash. So
we just have to the benefit of the doubt for now, you know.
Yeah, he gets the benefit of the doubt for now. So we just have to wait and see what happens in the next couple of months. We'll see. Most likely, see an announcement by then, and we just have to wait and see. Really, if he gets us to the promised land, if he gets us Messi or Cristiano here, and
we just have to see. Yeah. We don't need Messi, man. Just Just give us Erling Haaland, and that'll be fine.
For sure. My boy Erling, yes, for sure.
No, I mean, we're in the middle of a pretty interesting season so far for the Dynamo on the field, so this just adds to the mix of moving pieces. But honestly, I remember the day Tab Ramos got announced, and I mean, just like a lot of Dynamo fans out there, just kind of the giddiness I felt when that happened and how much I didn't expect it. And I mean, I felt the same way that the day Ted Segal got the news broke about him. And let's hope that that leads to the same path that Tab's going down, you know, making slow progress, but we're making progress. So, but we still got a lot of season to talk about. We still got a lot of news to talk about, and we'll keep y'all updated on the Ted Segal front.
Absolutely. Yeah, especially on Twitter. I'm just going to, just keep focused on the story and let you guys know as soon as anything pops up, for sure. There's going to be a good one.
Yeah, the only thing that, if you want to be negative, Nancy, you know, obviously, Webb, close your ears if you're listening to this. But from what Hal Kaiser was saying, he was saying he's afraid, he's skeptical, because it seems like kind of these investor groups come in sometimes, put in as little money as possible, and then sell on a high, which would be after the 2026 World Cup, which usually makes sense around 5 years from now. So that, I don't like that prediction from Hal at all. I mean, he knows way more than we do, probably, but let's hope for the sake of the Dynamo that that's not the case. And if it is the case, at least give us some transfers, and we'll still be happy. But just keep that in the back of your mind. Keep you up at night.
It's good that you said that, because now we get to jinx it, so that means it's not gonna happen. But for real though, like it can happen. So that's something to be mindful about. And like I said, we just have to wait and see what his intentions are and who's involved in like the group behind Ted Segal funding the transaction. Yeah, we just have to wait.
But, you know, what we don't have to wait about is that huge dub we got against Vancouver this weekend, baby. Let's talk about that.
A dub is a dub, even though it was an ugly one, toward the second half at least. But it was a really interesting game. The Dynamo won 2-1 against a really weird Vancouver Whitecaps. The first half, it was the best half, and the second half was a different story, especially like the last 15 minutes. And it was a really interesting game also for Memo Rodriguez. Like, he has been coming in like a really weird form. He hasn't been doing much up until this game. And this is the night that he got a goal and an assist in a really impressive performance overall.
I mean, dude, it's good for Memo. It's what people are calling him out, because we know he's good, and he's responding to the critics. He's responding to the Tab. So I think he just feeds off of that. But, you know, how they say Memo knows. But Memo knows. He does know. He knows he needs to do better. He knows he needs to be consistent, because he knows, and we all know, his quality. And he really showed it this week. I don't think he won MLS Player of the Week, but I saw he was up there on a couple of journalists' voting charts. But, man, Memo with the goal early in the first half, and then that nice assist to Maxi off the corner. It's good to keep seeing, because, you know, we might bring somebody in to challenge Memo this summer or later on in the transfer window, and he keeps proving himself like this, and, you know, that doesn't need to happen. But overall, 2-1, like Andres said, it was kind of sour at the end. We let in a sloppy goal with Boniek having an uncharacteristically bad touch, giving it away, and that piece of expletive Kai Alexander, whatever you say his name, scored the goal, which me and Andres were talking about before the podcast. He was putting in some nasty tackles, just being a nuisance, and then he would just try to shake your hand right afterwards, like it was all fun and games, he didn't mean it. Like, all right, man, just you do your tackles, but don't try to be fake about it. And you can tell Tim Parker kind of got annoyed about that, got in his face towards the end, as he should. But I mean, what else did you see from this game, Andres? What impressed you? What didn't?
Well, yeah, like the Dynamo could have won by like 4 to 5 goals. Honestly, it was really in the sense of offensive production. I felt like the Dynamo, this was another one of those games that they could have scored a ton more goals, which could have like the goal difference, but also put this game away early. And it was really worrying because that was pretty much like in the 75 minutes into the game, and right afterwards, like the Dynamo just lost control, and it was like all Vancouver to tie it up. And at least that's what I felt like. And
this is the story of the season, man.
Yeah.
So far, our defense is holding up decently, but the story of the season, Dynamo could have scored more. Everybody always has that story, but I feel like this is really it for the Dynamo so far. Maybe our kryptonite, which might come to hurt us in other games, is our, I don't even know if they're finishing. I think it's more of chance creation, right? Like, it's just few and far between. And we could have put in four on this Vancouver side. It should have been a 4-0, 4-1 game.
Yeah, like, I just have to, like, commend Maxi Rudy for keeping that, for keeping the goals coming in and just trying his best and just his runs. Like, early in the season, like, I was worried because he looked out of place, but, like, every run he makes now, I feel like he can definitely make something happen. And also, shout out to Aaron Lassiter because he looked very uncomfortable as well, like, to start the season, but with every chance he got, but he almost got like a pretty nice goal.
Ooh,
like
that dude, night, that was that, beautiful.
Like,
I wish,
like, the curling left footer hitting the crossbar, like, that was gonna be a sweet goal. Like, it was unfortunate that he didn't get it in, but it was gonna be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, fair play to Ariel because yeah, I mean, we'll be the first one to say we haven't been the nicest about his performances so far, but you know, we want him to do well. And it's tough, you know, listening to some of these player interview podcasts of guys that have retired now, how tough it is to come off the bench sometimes when you're not even getting your chance from the start. And a lot of these guys play so much better when they don't have that pressure to perform. I mean, obviously they have pressure to perform, but, you know, you're coming onto the bench, onto the game from the bench, 10 minutes left is a lot different than starting the game and kind of letting it flow. So that's a good step for Ariel. I think we're going to see other starts from him throughout the season due to injuries, due to rotation, but it's good to know that he can definitely do the job, and hopefully, you know, we see some goals, we see some assists from it too.
Yeah, and also one of the things that I want to point out is that while watching the game, like just listening to the broadcast with Eddie Robinson and Glenn Davis, they for like a good chunk of the game they've been talking about like Joe Corona and how he's been like the unsung hero so far this season, and I felt like that's I agree for the most part, since Joe Corona has been one of the players that has been playing for a very long time with the team now, and it's just there, like, keeping the cohesion alive, and just, like, the way he just stands his ground and makes his presence felt, like, within the team. I feel like he is a big part of how the team's performing lately, and one of the reasons why the team is currently this high up in the standings. And yeah, like, they just, like, the partnership with him and Matias Vera and whoever the Dynamo switch in and out of midfield, like, for the most part, Derek Jones for now, I feel like it's a pretty good partnership, really.
Yeah, I feel like Joe really makes things tick. He just keeps the game moving. He keeps the ball moving. Rarely loses possession. So that's just what we need, an anchor there in the midfield, you know. One of these days, I've been seeing him do these long shots a couple of games, and I mean, they're pretty on target, so it's going to pay off one of these games. You're going to see he's going to score a bomb from 20, 30 yards out, which is something that Dynamo have missed, having a long shot threat since the days of Rico Clark, since the days of Adam Moffitt. So that's a little bit too much of a throwback to not be having somebody scoring from 20, 30 yards out.
Yeah, like, I need those goals, man. Like, I just need like a goal of the week for once, so I can die happy.
Man, I don't care about goal of the week. Just keep giving me dubs, and I'll shut up. But
yeah, it's all about wins, yeah, for sure.
Overall, you know, more positive than negative from this Vancouver game. But like, as we're gonna cover right now, going into next game's weekend, we're about to be on a pretty tough stretch for the next four or five games. Going on the road, I think three or four of those games. So, I mean, so far, you know, standings don't really matter so far. Let's be real. Like, it's nice to have the confidence to you know, see that we're doing well, but these are the real games that kind of matter about where this team is going to end up throughout this season. You know, we've seen good starts before, and then we've seen t- team scramble. You know, we hope that doesn't happen, knock on wood here, but who do we have coming up? We got Kansas City. We're going away to LAFC.
Yeah, they do have a bye week after this week's game. I think the bye week is like a couple of weeks long, which is going to be good for Dynamo to take a break and for other teams around the league to play their games in hand, potentially. And
won't that be until Gold Cup or something?
Believe or so.
I mean, we got away to LAFC. We're going to host Portland. We're going to Salt Lake, I believe. I don't know. All these teams are either have proven quality or are in good form. So, you know, hey, we got to stick our chest out a little bit, too, and be proud of what we've done so far. But this is really going to tell a lot if the Dynamo can go and get a couple points on the road. I'm not just talking ties. We need to go get a dub or two on the road and really show this league what we're about. So that's going to tell a lot. But, you know, we'll talk about that throughout the weeks coming through. The last thing I just wanted to point out about this Vancouver game is Derek Jones still proving himself after a good performance, and we see him again against Vancouver. He's just a presence, man. Not just physically, but physically. The way he makes the team turn over, the way he gets balls back, and then it's just kind of like he cuts off counters, which is one of my favorite things about him. And then right away we're going the other way with the ball. And, you know, with Maxi, with Fafa, we're so dangerous. And hopefully we'll see Pasher starting again soon over Airy, which I think probably will happen. We saw Pasher come back after injury for 20 minutes. And just the point I wanted to bring up is this Jones versus Vera right now in this lineup, Andres? Or is Vera going to find his way into the lineup somehow else? Is there just going to be constant rotation? Or is it going to be Jones, this is my position, over Vera, who's been the most consistent Dynamo player over the past 2 years?
It might go either way, honestly, and we just have to wait and see. Since I'm feeling like it's mostly just rotation for now, but with a break coming in and some tough games ahead of us, I'm just gonna have to wait and see. But Derek Jones is making a big impact here for now.
Yeah, honestly, maybe we don't have to look at it as Jones versus Vera, but because honestly, we've seen how well this team is gelling on and off the field. And like you said, there's going to be injuries, there's going to be rotation. So I don't think Matias is going to be the type of guy to get upset that he's not starting just a game or two. But, you know, we'll definitely see Vera playing a more advanced role, maybe where Corona is sometimes. We'll see them rotating. So if anything, it's a good thing for Dynamo fans, a good thing for Tab Ramos to have these two rock solid defensive midfielders.
Yeah. And before we move to the Dash game, let's talk about Tine Chadebe. Because this is a really interesting player potentially be coming to the Dynamo or not. We just have to see. But yeah.
Say his team name in Turkey, man. Let's hear it.
Chicken in FC.
No. The team name, he's playing currently in the Turkish Super League for Yeni Malayetspor or something. I'm not even looking at the name right now, so. Sorry if that's wrong, but they finished pretty close to the bottom of the table in Super League. They did not get relegated, but he was a critical part of their defense this season. I saw they often played three in the back, but he's primarily a left-footed left-center back. He can also play left-back if needed, which is great for us when we need a cover for Adam and give him some breaks. But this guy is from Zimbabwe International. Give him some respect. What else do we know about him,
Andres? Yeah, he mostly plays center back, but he can also play fullback at some instances. But I'm feeling like if he's going to come here, he's mostly going to play center back for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. We don't want to have Aboniek playing center back all the time. And yeah, we just need more reinforcements in general, especially defensive reinforcements.
I mean, yes, we don't watch the Turkish Super League that much. If any of our listeners do, please let us know. Please fill us in. But it's pretty promising. Turkish Super League is obviously pretty top heavy, but, you know, it's still a quality league. We still see quality players all throughout. And this guy's been starting, from what I saw, I think 60 games total in the last year for them. So he's pretty much a constant starter for this team since he transferred from the famous Kaizer Chiefs of South Africa. Always have the dopest kids in all of club soccer around the world. So he's got a pretty good track record. Everything's rumors right now. You know, I was the first one to put this out there last Friday on Twitter, but obviously I was just reading Turkish rumors, and you can't even trust that stuff. But they're saying around 1.5 million euros right now. We have no idea if that's true. Corey Ripken of Freelance and Houston Chronicle, he was saying that from his sources it might not be that number, but there's talks going on. It's a lot slower so far than what the rumors are saying. Obviously you can't always believe that, but there is some talks going on, so we'll see. He said that that number isn't accurate. We don't know if it's less, we don't know if it's more, but that's something to keep an eye out, guys, because the Dynamo were also linked with Cameron Carter-Vickers of he currently plays for Tottenham Hotspur, technically, who owns his contract, but he was on loan to Bournemouth in the Championship. Obviously, I think that's a pipe dream. This guy is definitely destined for Premier League football or First Division European soccer somewhere else. But I think that it's promising to hear that the Dynamo are definitely looking at a starting center back this summer, whether it's teenage Hadebe or somebody else.
Yeah, what we know so far is that according to Bein Sports Turkey, the deal is done, but according to both Tom Bogert, which is like an MLS.
The GOAT.
The GOAT, that unfortunately had to shave his mustache, rest in peace. And yeah, so Tom Bogert and Corey Ropkin, they essentially said that they're more interested, but there's no deal in place yet. So we're just going to have to wait and see in the next couple of days or so and just see what happens. And yeah, we also keep hoping that we'll get a defensive reinforcements before the window closes, which I think it's going to be in the next couple of weeks, maybe. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
But yeah. Is that how it works in MLS? Like, it'll close in the next couple of weeks, but then there'll be another one that opens again, like in August or something, or July?
Believe so. Mm-hmm. I think in the middle of the summer, if I remember correctly.
Let's hope we get somebody in right now, though, to really reinforce the team before Gold Cup and keep the season strong.
Yeah. And yeah, with that, let's go ahead and talk about the Dash game from last Sunday.
Pain.
Yeah, it pain. It was really a bad game for the Dash, even though they came out with 1 point. Obviously, since it's a game that had like a Dash win all over it, but at the same time, they just throughout the game, really, it was like a really bad performance overall from the Dash, mostly just from the first half, and the Dash coming back in the second half with responding to a Kansas City goal early on with two goals, and Rachel Daly scoring her 29th goal to become the Dash's all-time goal scorer, which is a good touch, but it was kind of pretty much spoiled when Kansas City tied the game past the 90th minute, which was just really disappointing, really. And yeah, I just fear that it was going to be piling up to those negative results from the Dash to start closing the Challenge Cup and starting the regular season. It's getting me worried, honestly. Just seeing the Dash drop points like that with all their starters and just dropping points really in like games they have to win. And just heading into the next couple of games or so, it's really getting me worried. And just the Dash is playing with their starters before they travel for the international international breaks and everything else. It's getting me worried, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, all these other teams are trading, gaining confidence, while the Dash are kind of going the opposite way. So, I mean, there's reason to be worried, but I think after this two-game stretch this week, we're going to be able to know a lot more about this team. So things can be turned around, like you said to me before. We're playing the Washington Spirits tonight, which is Wednesday night, and then we're playing the Chicago Red Stars this weekend. So both two teams that are below the Dash in the table. Obviously, early in the season doesn't mean too much yet, but look, on paper, there's more quality with the Dash, but honestly, that doesn't matter, as we've seen from the season that started so far. The girls just need to go out, and the ladies need to go out and get the job done. James Clarkson's obviously very displeased with the performances so far. Rachel Daly also coming out and saying the same, but I mean, what do you expect from this? Two dubs this weekend? Is it too optimistic?
Well, yeah, I'll go more into depth when we preview their games, but But yeah, like just looking at this game and the game against Gotham, like it's been offensively, it's been pretty lackluster. Like there's something in the midfield that really worries me. Like I'm still not sure where it is, but it's just that I feel like there's like the cohesion from last year's Challenge Cup and the fall series. I feel like it's not there, even though most of the key players from a successful 2020 are still there. So it's really interesting. And
I mean, and,
yeah,
nothing Rachel, to take away. Go
yeah,
ahead.
No, you can go ahead first.
No, I mean, nothing to take away from the dash. Still getting a point, but at home, both the goals from the dash, honestly, yeah, right place, right time, but especially the corner kick that we scored with Shea Groom. Pretty lucky to be completely wide open on the back post and head in an open goal. And then the first goal, Rachel Daly scored, I believe. I mean, that one's a little bit better, not as lucky, but I don't know. The chance creation, just like we've talked about the Dynamo, it's kind of also worrying me with the dash. And then just absolute kind of dagger to the heart to concede that 90th minute goal against Kansas City at the end. And what I'm most worried about is the confidence for sure, and how James Clarkson can turn this around with his team, because we don't want it to snowball before it gets worse.
Yeah. That's pretty much what I've been trying to talk about the dash, really. Hopefully we'll get to see with the next couple of games today and this weekend if there's anything done with the lineup. Maybe the starting 11, there's a few changes, either as a rotation or just changes for good, really. And yeah, we just have to see, honestly, what happens with the next couple of games, which are a pretty winnable games for the dash. And if they draw points for this one, it's going to get really rough for the rest of the season, since like I said, there's going to be starters that are going to be missing for international breaks and the Olympics, and yeah, it's just really worrying.
Yeah, you're right. Obviously, we have a game today right after Saturday's game, and so we're either going to see one of two things, like heavy rotation, bring in new energy, not just off the field from being tired, but you know, off the field mentally, like bring in new energy, some of the ladies that are maybe a little bit more hungry to win their spot and maybe contribute to the team, or we could still see James kind of trust more in his starters and put them out again Wednesday night with the hopes of getting a W and kind of having that snowball into Saturday against the Red Stars, who really seem like the poorest team so far, and in the BSL, not just on paper, but you know, on the field too.
But yeah, and to start previewing the games for this week, like we just mentioned, the Dash do play two games. Today being against the Washington Spirit at home, and the Saturday against the Chicago Red Stars. The game against Washington was supposed to be a road game, but apparently due to some conditions at Washington Spirit's facility, which is also shared by DC United, they couldn't play the game there because it's not up to standard. And though it's the standards at least, and apparently they didn't have like a running water going in, which is pretty upsetting. And like other facilities that for like a professional team, which is pretty worrying for DC United and the Washington Spirit.
That's upsetting, man.
Yeah.
I don't know who to, there's somebody to blame here. I don't know who, but we're still gonna blame somebody. Let's say DC United. Shame on you for putting
for
the,
sure.
the Spirit through this. Or I don't know if it's the Spirit's fault. Somebody correct us, but for now, DC United, shame on you, just because we don't like you either as Dynamo fans.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, just this game against Washington Spirit and Chicago Red Stars, that they're two teams that are also struggling, kind of like the Dash, but the Dash are in a pretty good situation to capitalize on getting wins here and to get back on track. And even though it's still early in the season, like there's not much to worry about. These are the two games that the Dash can easily bounce itself back up to good shape.
We got Kalia Ojai Watt to worry about there. I'm not. She's healthy right now.
Kalia
Watt. Is she playing? Yes, Kalia Watt, our old good friend, former top scorer for the Dash before Rachel Daly scored.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good one on Saturday for sure. And And we'll then see what happens on Wednesday.
Trinity Rodman, rookie, probably going to be rookie of the year this year in NWSL. Tearing it up for the Washington Spirit, even though they're not doing too hot, but definitely one to watch out for on our defensive end. She might, hopefully she doesn't, but she might be putting a goal or two past Jane Campbell. So we'll see how that battle works out as well.
Yeah, I almost will be most likely looking forward to changing some of the lineup, bringing either new faces in or just having like a different formation heading into both of these games, either as a rotation or just for specific changes like James Carson wants to make. But I'm looking forward to these two games.
Yeah, we'll keep the mood positive. And hope next week's podcast we're talking about two dubs or at least 4 points total from these two games and getting the team back on the road.
Yeah. And with that, we're going to go ahead and talk about the Dynamo's next segue game being at Kansas City, which is a place we just love to be. And yeah, this is going to be another quote-unquote rivalry game. And Kansas City is always a tough place to play. It's going to be a game, the game before Houston's bye week,
I think, and I think that's the summer break that we're having. I thought it was gonna be a Gold Cup break, but I don't think the Gold Cup starts until like July, right? So I guess we're just having like a 2 week break for. I think we're just having a 2 week break for like the Nations Leagues, maybe.
Oh yeah, it could be Nations League. Yeah, I keep forgetting about the Nations League. It's
bro,
like
you can't forget about the Nations League.
There's the best Gold league Cup, in the world. Nations League, Euros coming up, Olympics. Come on, man, and Copa America too. Like, oh my goodness, so much soccer.
Too much to watch. But we'll try to keep you all filled in. But this, I honestly did not know about the break that was coming up so soon. Now it kind of caught me off guard, but. So I think this sporting game this weekend even comes up with more importance for the Dynamo to get a result and kind of be a little bit at ease or a little bit more confident going into a 2 week break, because it's going to be pretty sour if they end off. Let's remember last year before COVID happened and before the stoppage, the last game the Dynamo played was against Kansas City away, and what we got slapped like 4-0. And Tab talked about how sour of a taste that was. To have that be their last game played until months later and MLS is back. So obviously not as drastic this time, but I think kind of makes it as much more important for the Dynamo to go get a result. And let's not say a tie. Let's go get a dub in Kansas City. I'm tired of going to play for ties.
Dub.
Yeah, we need a dub. And yeah, just going back to this, I talked about it in the last game against Kansas City at VBA Stadium, and what one of the things is going to be key, and it's pretty much easier said than done, is containing Pulido. Like last time, it's going to be way different on the road, obviously, but containing Pulido and Kansas City offense, it's going to be pretty much that Tab is going to have to focus on this one, because Pulido, like even though Pulido was pretty much neutralized in the game in Houston, like the next couple weeks he just scores bangers in Kansas City and everywhere else he goes, and I'm just gonna say it again, Pulido has to be contained.
Is correct me if I'm wrong here, is Pulido gonna be at this game? Because he was just named to the Mexico's Nations League squad yesterday, and Mexico's playing Saturday versus Iceland in Dallas in a friendly. But we'll have to check on that one later, and Andres will tweet it out on Foxtrot. For now, I think Pulido is still staying with Kansas City for this game and then joining up Mexico. I don't know for sure, but we'll see. We'll update you guys on whether Pulido will be in action Saturday against the Dynamo or not.
Yeah, I did see that he was chosen by Mexico to play in the Nations League, but I'm just assuming that he's going to stay for now, since it will be better safe than sorry, pretty much, especially against Kansas City. But we'll see. I'll definitely tweet it out, though, any corrections to that. And, yeah, and going back to that point, you just have to contain that offense. And yeah, you just bring that high-octane offense that we already have to Kansas City and just catch them by surprise.
I mean, from what we've seen from Pulido, obviously he was neutralized, but from what we saw from the last couple of games is that I saw a tweet, you know, Kansas City thought they were buying their amazing top scorer, but what they've kind of gotten from Polito also, which has been good, is his chance creation. He's kind of become sort of a playmaker in games where he's cut off and he comes deep. So that's also something to keep an eye out because, you know, Kansas City still has Johnny Russell, Kyrie Shelton, Daniel Shalloui, which honestly, I think they got a little bit unlucky last game in Houston, which, you know, we need a little bit of luck always, but it's always a different story the second game around playing at Children's Mercy Park. I believe it's going to be 100% capacity. I don't know 100% for sure, but I believe I heard of that. So it's going to be a lot to live up to there. And like I said, I'm looking up Polito right now as we talk. Somebody said Sporting KC striker Alan Polito will join the next national team for their CONCACAF Nations League games. And they all they said is that he'll miss SKC's June 12th matchup against Austin. So for now, let's assume Polito will play against the Dynamo. And if he doesn't, then, you know, so be it. But fear the worst.
Yeah. Oh, well. And we just have to hope for the best, like always. And they just have to... They pretty much just have to establish their road issues because they need... they basically cannot make playoffs. So you just have like a good, solid position in the standings if they don't get results on the road.
Let's pretend we are real analysts that have real certifications and not just some podcast wanker analysts.
I have my Twitter license ready.
Let's pretend. What are the keys to the game for the Dynamo this week, Andres?
Well, I talked about containing Polito, which is one. I talked about...
what about on our end? What do we need to do?
Well, they have defensive containment. It's going to depend if Boniek plays or not, which I'm assuming he will this weekend, which is either him or Figueroa partnering with Parker, which is going to be key. That also... catching Kansas City by surprise offensively. That's another one they just have to... I'm looking forward to either if we play Lassiter or Pascher on the flank and either that or just like rolling in either one of them with Papa Pico or Maxi Rudy. It's going to be important. Rudy, yeah, has to keep up his positive form heading into this one. And the last one, I'd like to say that... I'm thinking about marriage. Obviously, him starting the season in was pretty good shape outside of what happened in Colorado. But yeah, I'm just hoping that he doesn't screw up on this one. Like just
that's playing out of the back.
Yeah, just playing out of the back. Know what you're doing and just clear the head out of that ball if you think anything's going wrong. Honestly, and yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
With Kansas City, they have so many threats, you know, Gary Kinda, Gianluca Busio, everywhere on the pitch, you know, our old friend Zusi, if he starts or plays, which I think no Dynamo fan likes at all. With them, if they get a goal, I think things can snowball, especially with their home crowd with that team. So like you said, defensive containment for me is huge. I want us to get the first goal, and let's see how the game plays out after that. But, you know, Kansas City also kind of has a center Boniek thing going on. They have their old defensive midfielder, Ilya Sanchez, playing at center back. Well, I don't really know if that's based off of injuries or based off of his form at center back, you know. He's probably rock solid there, too. He's always been a great player with the ball at his feet and distributing, but maybe something for the Dynamo to look out to. The thing that I've seen Dynamo really dangerous on, it kind of annoys me sometimes that we're putting in some crosses without a Christian Ramirez type player to head them in. But the most dangerous part when we put in those crosses is the rebounds that happen, and that's how Memo got his goal last week. So really crashing the box, see if Memo grabs another one, Joel Corona, whoever's there, I don't care. But I'm just hoping Tyler Pascher starts his game. Let's see 60 minutes from him. And I think he can give us a goal this game for real. Another assist, another goal. Tyler Pascher is going to do something if he's on the pitch. And that's signed by me, Tony Rubio.
Yeah, good call. Yeah. I'm still gonna say it again. Four Mayor is gonna get a goal in this one, so that way we keep the good vibes going.
Dude, you need to leave right now. I'm leaving this chat.
Yeah, more goals than Christian Ramirez.
I'm gonna say something in Spanish here. You know, me chamo Alejandro, si estás escuchando esto, te deseamos lo mejor. No más son memes, pero mete un gol, por favor.
Sí, mete un gol, por favor.
Okay. Te compro una arepa.
Well, anyway, wrap
up the podcast here. About to hit an hour, but what else? So, good vibes against Kansas City. Let's get something going. What's your score prediction, Andres? You predicted last week. I don't even remember what it was, but what's your prediction and who's scoring?
Yeah, for Vancouver, I predicted a 3-1, which I got pretty close. For this one, so I can jinx it against Kansas City, I'd like to say it's going to be a 2-2 draw, which I feel like it's a really, really realistic result on the road against Kansas City. And it's going to be, I'd like to say it's going to be goals by Maxi Rudy, and there's going to be a goal by
a defender this game. I think Tim Parker, or you know, let's get my boy Zarek a goal. Let's get some vibes in there for Zarek Valentin.
I'm gonna say Joe Corona for now, but yeah, right. It's gonna be Rudy and Joe Corona.
Vamos. 2-2. Andres said it here. I'm not predicting because I don't do that voodoo stuff. But let's go. Good vibes for Joe. Good vibes for Tim Parker. Let's go, boys. To finish it off, we got the Dynamo Loan Army report brought to you by Dynamic Foxtrot. Yeah, I'm sorry if you guys are listening to that in public and your ears just started bleeding. But what happened down in the East Coast this weekend? There's who played, who didn't, who scored?
Well, Eric McHugh scored, even though he's a defender, so he already has as many goals as Christian Ramirez, so I'll call him back up. I'm joking. No, not the trash Ramirez. I know he's a good man, and I love him when he plays, and he needs more minutes. I'm just impressed that now Palomino and McHugh have goals now, and
in the first two three weeks of their seasons.
Yeah, so I think McHugh started in the latest game with Johnson Battery, and he did play all the entire game, I believe so, without looking up stats. But yeah, there's that. And as for Palomino, he didn't score like last time, but I know for a fact that he is doing a great job down there. As you can see, I'm stalling while I'm looking up stats. So yeah.
So that McHugh and the Battery went up 2-0 within the first 25 minutes. McHugh with a striker's finish, honestly. Absolutely sexy finish.
Bangers.
And then the Red Bulls came back, tied the game 2-2. But McHugh started at center back and played around 70 minutes for the Battery. Pretty good for his first start with them. And then Palomino, I did not watch that game, but yeah, after his goal last week, I believe he played around 80 minutes for – started and played around 80 minutes for – Charlotte Independence in their win as well. So, you know, shout out to the boys. If you guys are listening, reach out to us. We want to interview you, please.
Give us yours.
Good vibes to those guys. Keep it going, and hopefully see you guys back here next year. And, you know, shouts to Marcelo. I see he's watching every single Dynamo game out there. So, you know, we got a fan in him too. But last thing I just want to touch on, completely unconfirmed, just me having no life and looking up Dynamo stuff. Yesterday I saw our I don't know this guy, but you know, shout out to Sam Mbonu, I think his name is, from Africa Sports Network with the Z. He's always covering the Dynamo. He posted some pictures from training at Aviva Stadium over there near the Houston Sports Park. And I saw a blurry picture of a blonde player in the back. And I said, who the heck is this? We do not have this guy on the roster.
Yeah. And yeah, Tony showed that picture to me, and I was like, Jared Watts. his back.
Dude, honestly, that's what I was thinking too. But, you know, I reached out to some people, was given no answers. All I was told is that he was a trialist. And then I was like, who does this guy look like? Who is a free agent who has been cut recently? Griffin Dorsey, former U-20 national team winger for Tub Ramos, former Indiana Hoosier, was recently cut by Toronto FC to make way for El Chamo, Andres' boy, Soteldo in Toronto. And 2 weeks later, it seems like he's at Dynamo training. So, you know, history with Tab. He hasn't really done much in MLS. He's played a lot with Toronto FC too. Historically, a right winger, But from what I asked, one of my old friends that went to Indiana and covered soccer there, he started playing fullback in MLS. So we'll see what this, where this takes the Dynamo, if they're going to bring him onto the squad as a reinforcement for the summer, maybe give him a chance, or, you know, I don't know if they're going to send him to RGB. I don't think that exists anymore, but we'll see. Makes sense with Tab and the U-20 experience, and so keep an eye out for Griffin Dorsey and see if the Dynamo will keep him on for this season.
Yeah, like, as long as it's defensive reinforcements, I welcome all defensive reinforcements, since we're pretty thin. And yeah, we just hope, especially fullbacks and all the center backs, I'll take all of them.
If he plays right back, though, even if he plays right wing or right back, man, I don't like that. We got Mateo, we got Lasser, and then at right back we got, you know, Valentin, Hoffman, Bizama. This doesn't make sense unless he's playing on the left, which, honestly, we don't know anything about Griffin Dorsey, to be honest. So if you do, reach out to us. But if he comes on as a winger, I don't know, does Nico Lemoine leave? What happens there? Find out.
Yeah, we just have to see. And yeah, before we close the show, shout out to Zimbabwe Football Daily for following me yesterday. Hey. The boys in Zimbabwe following the teenage story. And yeah, it's going to be fun.
Shit. The teenage dream, baby. You know what I'm saying?
The teenage dream. Katy Perry. okay. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this packed episode. And yeah, we're just hoping to see what happens with Tetzegol and our teenage dream, Teenage Adebe. Yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. This has been your boy Andres and Tony. And peace. Yeah, stay noodle.
Stay noodle, my friends.
Yay.